Oh, wow. Well, we have an opportunity today for Pastor Josh, our youth pastor, to come up and share a testimony of when the youth went out and did their big giveaway. I told you that every month there's a different Connect group giving away funds or food or whatever they feel called to do. And I asked them to come and give a testimony. So Josh and whoever's coming with you, come on up, come on down, however you want to say it.
All boys.
All boys today?
Yeah. Mm. We do have girls, I swear. I don't know where they are today, but we do usually have girls. I'm going to kind of open it up, and then I'm going to let them share pretty much what we did, but I just wanted to kind of share a little bit about how we got to how we're sharing. I remember when Pastor kind of sent me the email, and I was reading through it, and one of the things that I really stress in youth ministries is two of the most important things is, one, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and two, love your neighbor as yourself, which if you can get those two down, you're pretty much doing pretty good. The rest of them fall into place. And I remember when Pastor wrote me that email, and I'm reading it, I'm like, man, this is a great opportunity for a share. And I was like, but man, are we busy this month? I was like, man, God, I was like, are you sure you want us to do this month? And I had all these great plans of, I even told you I wanted to go to a children's orphanage and kind of spread the joy and give out Bibles and prayer. But after we kind of talked and prayed about it, I said, you know what, I'm going to talk to the group and see what they want to do. And we sat down and we kind of threw out a couple things, and right away, they wanted to do something much larger than what I wanted to do. In fact, towards the middle of this decision, I said, you know what? Maybe we'll just go somewhere and we'll bless somebody with a really big tip, and it'll be that way. We'll just kind of bless them like that, you know, something kind of easy, but still outreaching and blessing them. And they came up with it that they wanted to go out and reach out to homeless and go downtown Cleveland and literally go out and find homeless and give them food. Not money, not that, but really to prepare a bag of food and to find them, give them the food, and pray for them. And this was a challenge because how do you plan for something like that? You know, there is no plan, you know. So as we went out, it was kind of interesting finding the homeless people and kind of driving through Cleveland. And literally, there was no set plan or set schedule. It was kind of like, we're going out and God, you're leading us. And there was a couple times where we'd see somebody, you know, on a corner over here, and we'd drive around the street, and then they would be gone. And I'm like, well, God obviously didn't want us to minister to that person, but we're going to find somebody. But I'm going to let them go ahead and talk a little bit about the people we ministered to, and we'll go down the road here, and then Lisa will probably close it up.
Hi, my name is William, for those who don't know me. I think it was a great experience to go downtown Cleveland and share with some of the homeless people. One of the best parts was meeting this one guy. His name was William, too. And he had an injured knee like me. I'm the same knee. So I got to pray for that. And he was a really cool guy. So, and all the others were cool, too. It was really fun.
Hi, I'm Nathan. If you don't know me, you may see me a couple times. I also thought it was a great experience, tons of fun. The same thing for him. I got to see the guy named Will. Also, there was a guy named Nathaniel. I got to see him. We all prayed for him. With Will, I got to pray for him as well, for his knee and that he could make it home. We also came across another guy, I forgot his name, but apparently he was recently homeless, and he was jumping from house to house. So we got to pray for him as well and hand him some food. And
Don. Yeah, it was Don.
Oh, it was Don, yeah. And there was the last guy. He was from Puerto Rico, and he spoke Spanish, so Lisa had to speak to him. she got to pray for him. And we were surprised at first because he declined the food. And he accepted it in the end, but I was surprised. And that was basically what I had to talk about.
Hi, my name's Colin. For any of you that don't know me, this trip was really, like Josh said, it wasn't entirely planned, so it was kind of on the run that we were doing this, going out through the neighborhoods. And I mean, you guys have seen a lot of movies where you see the poverty lines and all that, and it's really it really comes to you in the back of your mind, and you really start to think when you're in those downtown areas where it's like less fortunate, you have fences everywhere, you have like a lot of the things for children nowadays, it's basketball that saves them and all that. And what we've done is we've tried to help that out with anyone that we could find. And the problem is that you want to bless everyone in there, but you only have a certain amount of stuff. But each guy I think we met was blessed in their own way. Each one had their own story. I think it was Nathaniel that actually, was it Nathaniel? That one of them wanted to go back home to D.C. because he had come down here for a better future, and it's in downtown Cleveland. It's not per se, in certain areas, it's not as fortunate. So he's trying to make it back to D.C., and a lot of the world's kind of like changing on everyone, so it's kind of difficult for them. But it was, I just loved to see their faces when it was like, They didn't expect this, and it's just like they're able to live for another week with just this food without having to worry about anything. So it was kind of cool to see that.
Oh, it was an awesome experience. We drove around looking for people. We're like, are they homeless? We're like looking at them. We're like, are they wearing a winter coat? And we didn't want to just jump out and say, hey, we want to give you food because we think you're homeless, and then they're not. So it was really hard to like just follow God's guidance of who to bless and who not. So this one gentleman, we're driving around and we're looking at him with like, is he homeless? Or he looks like he just got off work. He's waiting for his ride home. We're like, nah, let's go somewhere else. We see this group of ladies. There's about five of them there with some guys around him. We're like, I think we're outnumbered if we go there. So let's not. So we go back and we see that guy again. And we're like, oh, he's still there. It's been an hour. We'll just go somewhere else. And then finally, an hour later, we come back and he's still there. So Josh is like, I'm just going to jump out and then start talking to him. He goes out there. He starts talking to him and he like waves me. I'm like, what? He's like, he speaks Spanish. Come over here and help me. I'm like, all right. So the guy didn't speak very limited English. So I went out there and talked to him and heard his story a little bit. You know, he comes from Puerto Rico and he's stuck here and he wants to go back. A lot of them want to go back home, which I don't blame them. And he's staying at the homeless shelter down the road. So we asked if we can pray for him and bless him with food. And unfortunately, we didn't have a Spanish Bible. We only had an English Bible, which I felt bad. But at least we got to pray with him and shed some light on him. And I know how it is to be in a foreign country when no one's speaking your language. And it's just a blessing from heaven to hear someone speak your native tongue. And I just pray for all the guys that we touched and ministered that they would just you know, have that in their heart and give them hope so they don't give up.
I think one thing, it was really kind of odd when you go up to somebody, and I would always kind of go out and talk to them first to make sure everything was okay. Well, then, you know, nine other people would jump out of the van, and I think it would freak the people out when we come up and started praying for them or bringing food, because all of a sudden, I'd go like this, and nine people would jump out of the van, and they'd be like, you know, they'd be kind of taken back. But these little seeds, I did felt like God really planted these people, and I didn't even realize Nathaniel until now. Will was a big one, but I didn't realize Nathaniel until now, Nate going with us. And I think God really brought us to each one of these people. And I remember the one I just felt like, you know, I feel like we should minister to this guy, but he was so taken back, I think, by all of us. He was just real quiet. You know, it was yes or no answers. And, you know, I said, well, can we bless you? And he says, well, I just got kicked out of my house today. And I said, well, let me just bless you with this food. And he goes, well, I'm waiting for a ride. And I mean, this guy was back in the middle of like industrial park with nobody around, just kind of sitting by himself. And I just felt like we should really pray over this guy. And I remember, like, he almost hesitated. And he was like, I said, can we pray over you? And he was like, and I said, okay, we're praying over you. And I was like, come on, guys. You know, and nine people jumping out of the van. And I just felt like each little seed, and I thought it was so odd because Will doesn't have his knee brace on today. And sometimes he wears it and sometimes he doesn't. That day he had his knee brace on. And the guy says, I have a knee hurt on the same leg that you use that knee brace on. And I was like, well, that's a sign. God wants him to pray for that knee. So Will prayed for him for that knee. And these little seeds, I think, are just awesome that we get to be the hands and feet of God. And each one of these guys stepped up. They shook their hands. They were praying over him. And it was awesome to see them become the hands and feet. And I just hope we get more opportunities like that. In fact, they asked, they said, can we do this again? And I was like, absolutely. So pray for us. We're going to try to go out again soon. But it was just awesome going out, being the hands and feet of God. Amen.
One coincidence that we came across was the Spanish guy's name actually meant Jesus. So I thought that was great.
And we found Jesus.
Yeah. And we found Jesus.
Yeah.
They can literally say they found Jesus. That's pretty fun. Well, thanks for sharing, guys. I love hearing the stories. I don't know about you guys, but I love hearing the stories of people going out and blessing people in our community. It's awesome. What? Sure. Sure.
She's not here, but she went on that day.
Yeah.
And one thing that she said that impacted me.
Uh-huh. Wow.
And, like, I thought about that, like, the word homeless that we call them, like, not just that hungry, but they were all searching for the same thing. They just
wanted
home.
Yeah.
Like, a place to belong.
Yeah.
And that just, it impacted me and her.
Yeah.
Huge.
Wow.
Everybody's
looking for the same thing. Home.
Yep.
Yeah, a place to belong. That's good. I'm glad you added that on. That's good. So, we'll give you another testimony coming up soon from our next group. I'm happy that Oak River gets to do this. It's a good thing to do. So I'm going to share a message with you today that God put in my heart this week so strong. And I felt like he put it in fast. Sometimes it doesn't happen that way. Sometimes it takes hours and hours to pound it out. And other times, I don't know if music is like that for you guys, but sometimes you have to really sweat it out. And then other times it's just like that. And this was one of those weeks where he just dropped it in very fast. And so I as I said earlier, I'm expecting us to encounter God through these words today, not because they're mine, because they're his. Because I didn't pound over them. Is there something, noise? Oh, it is? Okay, they're having fun. Okay, that's awesome. I'm glad. Yeah, it's usually family worship. That's what was confusing me, but I forgot they switched family worship with the kids that are out there having a blast with some good music, it sounds like. That's good. So today, the name of the message is Rest Stops and Refueling. Rest Stops and Refueling. How many of you have taken a road trip for more than 2 hours? Okay. What does a rest stop look like for you? Do you just pull in and stay in your driver's seat and recline the chair and that's all you do, or do you do other stuff? You do other stuff. I do. I get out. I stretch. I always stretch. It feels good to stretch after being in the car for a while. I usually bend down and touch my toes because I like stretching out that, you know, my back. I usually go to the restroom, right? Need a restroom. Usually, maybe get a snack, a beverage, a piece of fruit, some crackers, something like that. Rest stops. In the spiritual world, in our spiritual life, I don't know why we think rest stops is only sofa time, where you lay down on your sofa and that's resting. I think there's way more to resting in the spiritual world than just resting. You hear me? Just like a rest stop in the natural involves more than just resting. Now, I will say the one time in all the trips I've made down to South Carolina, and then when I was living in South Carolina and went to college in Florida, all the trips I made from Carolina to Florida, There was one time that I had bronchitis, and rest stops were only for sleeping. I had a terrible fever, and I would pull into a hotel parking lot under a light because that made me feel safer because I was alone. And then I would just sleep for 2 hours, and then I would try to drive again. But for the most part, rest stops involve more than just, you know, staying in your chair and putting your chair back. It involves a lot more. And in the spiritual world, I think there are some key components to rest that we can understand that will help us in our walk, that will help us, because we all need rest. The first thing seems obvious. There's a note page if you need it. The first point is stop working. Or in a road trip, stop driving. Just stop. And some of us have a hard time with that. We want to keep on keeping on, and we think we're going to get rejuvenated by keeping on working. And it just doesn't necessarily work like that. You have to stop what you're doing. We see in Genesis 2:2-3, and today I'm using a new translation I've never used before. It's called the International Children's Bible. And I liked it because it's so easy to understand. I really like the wording on it, all the passages today. But it says there in Genesis 2:2-3, it says, by the seventh day, God finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all of his work. Now, was God tired? That's an easy one. Can somebody answer? No. God doesn't get tired. He has unlimited energy. It's impossible for him to get tired. So he didn't rest because he was tired. He rested. I'm not sure why he rested, honestly, except that maybe he wanted to show us that we need to rest from work. That's the only thing I can come up with, because he wasn't tired. Maybe he just wanted to sit and enjoy what he had created, but he rested from all of his work. Verse 3, God blessed the seventh day and made it a holy day. He made it holy because on that day he rested. He rested from all the work he had done in creating the world. Notice how many times it says rested in that one passage. He rested from all of his work of creation. Even though he wasn't tired, he rested from it. And I feel like in the spiritual realm, we really vastly underestimate the power of rest. It's an extremely powerful thing to do, is to rest. But I don't think it means, like I said, just sofa time. I used to live under that delusion that if I was tired, then I could just lay on my sofa and maybe watch a movie, and then I would wake up feeling refreshed. And it doesn't always work like that. Sometimes it does, and sometimes I wake up just as tired or more tired. So in the spiritual realm, we think, okay, rest. I'm going to sleep in on Sunday. There was a big joke when I was in college that everybody would say, what church did you go to? I went to Bedside Assembly of God with Brother Sheet and Sister Pillow. That's what they talked about. They said, you know, that was rest, right? The problem is, almost never do you feel rested when all you do is sleep in. I don't know about you. When I sleep in, I wake up more tired. I feel like half the day is gone. I usually have a headache. I'm just not good at sleeping in. I even on those nights I was up watching the Cavs till midnight, my body, my eyes were like, bing, 6 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning sometimes. Couldn't sleep in. If I try to sleep in, I get a headache and I don't feel good. I feel like the whole day is gone. Rest in the spiritual realm is a ceasing from working. It's a ceasing from labors, but it's more than that. It's that, and I believe we have a biblical precedent that rest also involves celebrating the wins. Celebrating the wins. In Joshua 21:43, I have that passage wrong, 43 through 45, not 43 through 45. Sorry, my bad. It says this, so the Lord kept the promise he had made to the Israelites. He gave the people all the land he had promised. The people took the land and lived there. The Lord allowed them to have peace on all sides of their land. Have you ever gone through a season in your life where you had peace on all your sides? Like there was peace in your finances, there was peace in your relationships, there was peace at home, nothing was breaking down. Maybe it was only for 5 days, but it was still a season where you had rest on every side. You know what so many of us do when that happens? We wait for the other shoe to drop. That's what we do. We're like, well, it's been going good, but something's got to happen now that's bad. We almost like we prophesied into existence, something negative coming, right? Instead of doing that, what if we just learned to celebrate the wins when we had peace on all sides? Just celebrate the wins. This is what he had promised, God had promised to their people who lived long ago. None of their enemies defeated them. Did they have battles? Yes, but none of their enemies defeated them. The Lord allowed the Israelites to defeat every enemy. He kept every promise he had made to the Israelites. No promises failed. Each one came true. That is so powerful when you think about it. How many times do we stop and say, wow, every promise God has made to me has been fulfilled. Every promise, and even ones that I couldn't dream of, they're fulfilled because that's how good he is. Do you see how that rejuvenates your spirit and your heart? That's rest. Celebrating the wins is very restful. You take a deep breath and you go, wow, look how good God is. Now, you can do this in a lot of different ways. You can talk about it with people you love. You can highlight things that God is doing that feels like a win. I have a set of index cards on my desk that I have promises that God has made to me over the years. And sometimes I just read those out loud when I'm resting just to have a moment to go, wow, yep, God is doing that. Yep, God is doing that. Yep, God is doing that. It's so restful. It's filled with this moment where you recognize God is God and I am not, and he is good and I am valuable. That's what it is. It's celebrating the wins in life. I believe we don't do that nearly enough. One thing I was struck with this week, I don't know about you, but I'm really celebrating the whole Cavs thing. I'm still riding a high from it. Woo, I'm so happy about it. And one thing I noticed when I was watching the celebration on TV that morning before I came to the office, already people were lining up. And what I noticed is that when you're celebrating a win, all those differences just fall aside. There's no racial barriers. There's no socioeconomic barriers. There's no barriers between officers and civilians. Everybody is just celebrating the win so beautifully that they don't care about differences. And I got this hunger in my spirit, a hunger. I'm like, oh God, what if church looked like that? What if church was celebrating the big win? Right there, celebrating the big win. I don't care what color your skin is. I don't care if you have Gucci or not, or Walmart. I don't care. It doesn't matter because we're celebrating the big win. You know, I don't care if you're loud and outspoken or if you're quiet. I don't care if when you worship you like to dance or if you just like to stand in holy awe. It doesn't matter. We're celebrating the big win. Oh, I long for that. What if every time you came to church felt like a rest stop? Where we were resting and we were celebrating to such a degree you walk away invigorated. I had so much energy on Wednesday just watching the parade. Off and on, I was like, woo! I felt like adrenaline was coming into me just watching it. I wasn't there. I wasn't that crazy. Hanleys, yep, they were there. Respect. Hummers, oh, you guys are there too, Rosanna, Tony. That is awesome. I loved it. I said, well, Tiffany was like, Sandy, your kids are going to want to go to the parade. I'm like, I really don't want to go. I don't like crowds, and I don't like traffic, so that's two for me, you know? But I said, I'll ask the boys and see if they want to go. personally, I'd rather just watch from my living room, right? Well, from someone's living room. It's all right. And so I said to Ethan first, separately from Max, I said, Ethan, do you want to go to the parade? I'll take you to the parade if you want to go to the parade. He goes, no, why would I want to do that? I'll watch it on TV. I was laughing so hard. And then I said to Max, he didn't hear Ethan's response. I said to Max, Max, do you want to go to the parade? I'll take you to the parade. Chins are going. They want us to go with them. He's like, are you kidding me? I'll watch from the safety of my living room. Same thing I had said to Tiffany cracked me up. I'm like, well, apple doesn't fall far from the tree. But I still had fun watching the celebration. I had so much fun watching people come out of the parking deck and hang on the side of the building. Wow. Could I do that? Not in a million. Not unless the Holy Spirit did a major work in my life. Definitely not. I have an issue with heights. Not a big fan of heights. But I loved watching them. It is restful to celebrate the wins. It's a restful thing to do. And then another part of resting to me in the spiritual world is point C, build reminders of God's place in your life. Build reminders of God's place in your life. I don't mean build hammer and nails. Dave might do that, but I'm not wired that way. But build reminders of God's place in your life. There's a story in Joshua after the passage we just read where once there was peace on all sides, the 2.5 tribes who were allotted the land east of the Jordan River decided to go back. They had helped their fellow family clans, you know, get the wins, and then they were going to go back to their land across the Jordan. But they wanted to make sure they always remembered and their clan members would always remember that they serve God. They worship the one true living God. So they built an altar. I love what they named it in the children's Bible. It says, and the people of Reuben and Gad gave the altar a name. They called it proof that we believe that the Lord is God. Isn't that powerful? I feel like there needs to be visual reminders all around us and call them proof that we believe the Lord is God. Proof that we believe. I have one. About 8 years ago, God gave me a verse from Isaiah 30:15. And the verse, the first part of the verse is what he spoke to me. In quietness and confidence is your strength. There's another version that says, in quietness and trust is your strength. And I knew what he was saying to me was not run here and try to figure it out and try to manipulate this circumstance and try to control this person. No, in quietness and confidence in him, that's where I'm strong. That's where I can find strength. And so a couple of years ago, my sister and I were in Amish country out at Burton, and we were walking through a shop and we saw this, that verse with this picture. And I was like, oh, that's my verse God gave me, right? She said, well, then you have to have it. She's a generous heart. So she said, I'm going to buy that for you. And so I put it in my bedroom. And every time I would start feeling like I was going to hyperventilate from something, I would read this. You see, it's a visual reminder of God's place in my life. It's a visual reminder of God's place. In quietness and confidence is my strength. In quietness and trust is my strength. The sad part of that verse is comes after where God says, but you would have none of it. So I don't include that part because I'm going to have some of it. I'm going to have some of it. That's Old Testament anyway. So we're under the blood of Jesus now, right? But it is a reminder to me that if I need rest, if I need renewal, the way to find it is not by running and doing and sweating and striving and trying harder. That's not where it is for me. In quietness and trust is my strength. I have another visual reminder. I just got it today, actually, at the post office when I stopped on the way here. It's a little necklace. It says on it, Believe Land. I had it specially made this week. Believe Land. Why? Do I believe that the Cavs, that because the Cavs won, we live in Believe Land? No. I believe that because we live in Believe Land, the Cavs won. There's a big difference. I'm not a Cleveland native, but it occurred to me this week, I've lived here longer than I've lived anywhere else. So that's pretty good, right? About 24 years, 23 years, something like that. I've lived in Northeast Ohio. And I, from the beginning when I saw Believed Land, it rang something in my spirit. And I love that we won the game, the big game. I love that. But it's bigger than that. It's deeper than that. I want to be reminded every time I look at this necklace, I live in Believe Land. Even if I move somewhere else, I'm still living in Believe Land. You got it? I decide to believe that God is good and that I am very, very valuable. I make a decision to believe. This is where I live. I don't just visit Believe Land from time to time. I live in Believe. I sleep in Believe Land. I take a dip in the pool in Believe Land. I work in Believe Land. That's where I live. I don't ever want to forget. I don't ever want to forget. That's where I am. It's a visual reminder of God's place in my life. Hopefully, it's a visual reminder to someone else of God's place in my life. That's rest. I read a quote this week on Facebook by Dr. Mark Sharona. Sharona. I don't think it's the same. I don't think it's the same. But it says this, rest is a weapon given to us by God. The enemy hates it because he wants you stressed and occupied. Isn't that powerful? Rest is a weapon. I mean, we don't see it that way, do we? We think it's a luxury. It is not. It is a necessary tool. It's a necessary weapon. And honestly, probably other than the Holy Spirit and my interaction with God, other than that, rest is probably the most powerful weapon I've ever personally used in my life. The most powerful. Rest, that quote, yes, rest is a weapon given to us by God. The enemy hates it because he wants you stressed and occupied. Occupied, that's, we live occupied, don't we? I love when Jeff Davidson, when he was here, and he goes, I refuse to say, when somebody asks me, how are you doing? I refuse to say, I'm busy. We think busy is good. We think it's, oh, we must be important. We're so busy, right? He said, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be occupied. I want to be productive, but I don't want to be stressed and occupied. That's good. Okay, rest stops. Now, the second part of the highway message is going to wrap up the whole highway series, and next month we start a new one, Super to the Natural. It's going to be fun. But point two, refueling. Now, how funny would it be, the trip that I take to South Carolina to visit my family a couple times a year takes about 10 to 11 hours, depending on the orange barrels, sometimes 12 hours. but on a good day, it's about 10 hours. How crazy would it be if when I saw my gas gauge going down, I usually don't let it get below a fourth of a tank. I'm just a little bit nuts that way. I don't like going down to the E. Ram, my son, he thinks it's a game. How many more miles can I get out after the light comes on for E? He loves it, not me. It hits a quarter and I'm like, where's the gas station, right? But how crazy would it be if when I decided I needed fuel, I pulled over the side of the interstate and just waited for somebody to bring fuel to me? That's nuts. Or maybe I do this instead. I pull over to the side of the interstate and I start pouring water in the tank. Is that gonna help? How about Kit Kats? I bet the dark ones would work because they're good for you, right? No. no, that's not the way to get fuel when you need fuel. And we recognize the lunacy of that, but in the spiritual world, how many of us, when we need refueling, we go to every source except God, the great refueler? We go everywhere else. And Jeremiah, I think it's chapter 2, it says, God is talking, and it says, my people have done a terrible thing. They have departed from the one who gives them life. And not only that, they have tried to dig for themselves cracks or cisterns that can hold no water at all. And I think that's what we do sometimes. We dig cracked cisterns and we try our best to find ways to refuel ourselves. And God is saying, just come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's all. So point A, go to the fuel source. Go to the fuel source. In 1 Samuel 33 through 6, there's an account here. It's kind of difficult to understand. When David and his men came to Ziklag, they found that the town had been burned. Their hometown at that time had been burned. Their wives, their sons and daughters had been taken as prisoners. Then David and his army cried loudly until they were too weak to cry anymore. David's two wives had also been taken. They were Ahinoam, I'm not sure how to say that, of Jezreel, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal from Carmel. The men in the army were threatening to kill David with stones. This upset David very much. Each man was sad and angry. That's not a good combination. Sad and angry because his sons and daughters had been taken as prisoners. But David, this is one of my favorite little short passages in the whole Bible, but David found strength in the Lord his God. I don't know about you, but if I were in David's shoes right there and the whole army was ready to kill me because they were upset, I was upset because those that I held closest to my heart were taken off, it would be hard to find strength in the Lord your God, wouldn't it? You would be wanting to rail against somebody. You'd be wanting to pick up a weapon and go after them. You'd be want. I mean, let's just get real. I love that it says, but David found strength in the Lord his God. I have tried to find strength in other ways. I'll be the first to admit it. But every time I find strength in God, it's real strength at last. What a difference it makes. But David found strength. Go to the fuel source. Sometimes worship is the best thing you can do when you're in the middle of chaos. It has a way of turning your heart towards God and focusing on who he is and what he's done in such a way that brings calm to the chaos. It's not logical, but it's amazing. It works. But then this next part gets me too. I called it ask, don't tell. 1 Samuel 37 and 8, immediately following that, after he found strength in the Lord his God, David said to Abiathar the priest, bring me the holy vest. Then David prayed to the Lord. He said, should I chase the people who took our families? Will I catch them? David was a warrior. If he knew one thing, it was how to fight. He was known for, from the time he was a little boy, slaying lions and bears and tigers, oh my, you know, in the wilderness, and then slaying the giant Goliath. He knew battles. He knew battle strategies. He knew how to win battles. So what in the world, what is he doing? After he got strength in the Lord his God, you think he would have been like, okay, we're going, let's go, guys. You know, revenge, we're getting our stuff back, we're getting our people back. No, he asked. He didn't tell. God, should we go after them? What if God had said no? about that. And some of us, we come to God, and instead of saying, God, what should I do? We say, God, here's what I'm going to do. Now bless me. God, here's what I think I should do. I'm just going to go for it. Hope you put your hand of favor on it. And I think it's so much better to ask, don't tell. Ask God, what should I do? Should I go? The Lord answered, chase them. I can just hear him from heaven. Chase them. You will catch them. You will succeed in saving your families. See, David was smart enough to know if he had the nod from his father, he was going to have success. And if he didn't, there was no point in trying. Where you go, I'll go. What you say, I'll say. What you pray, I pray. If you're facing a challenging situation in your life today, and I know some of you are, and I am, ask, don't tell. It's such a different place. It's this place of quiet and confidence. That's what it is. It's God, I know you're big enough to know what's best, and you can see the end from the beginning, and you know all of it. And so, God, I'm asking you, what should I do here? What should I do? And if you don't hear anything in response, wait. Wait until you hear something. I think there is so much power in waiting. Those that wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Those that wait on the Lord, we get impatient. I'm impatient right now. I'm very impatient. But when I get like that, I look at my visual reminder. It's in my office right now. And I say, in quietness and trust is my strength. In quietness and trust. I'm asking God, God, what do I do? Until he shows me, I'm staying put. Well, shouldn't you be doing this? Shouldn't you be doing that? Shouldn't you be doing this? What if you do this? What if you do? I've tried all of it. I don't know what else to do. I've tried it all, so I'm just going to sit and wait until God shows me what to do. And there's so much peace in that. And then when the victory comes, because I know it will for all of us, when it comes, we'll know it was God who did it. God who did it. Just rest in him. Rest in him. Maybe that means stretching. Maybe that means walking around the car, the rest stop area, getting a different perspective, celebrating the wins, you know, I think it means all of that, but there is so much renewal in that. This year on vacation, the condo that the boys and I go to, the beach condo, for the first 5 days of our time, we're there, and then the second 5 days, we're with my family up in northwestern South Carolina. But the condo we've gone to for the past 3 years, they haven't had internet, which is fine. I just kind of went off the grid while I was down there every year. But this year, there was a hunger. I'm like, oh, I really wish there was internet there because I'd like to listen to some messages and some worship online as part of my vacation. You see, that's not work for me. I mean, I do it for work also, but it's not only for work. And so it was my hunger. I just had this hunger to do that. And so I walk in the condo and we're putting our stuff down and I'm like, oh, I see a router. I was so excited. There's internet. So I was able, because the boys, I take the boys. We took two of my sons. The oldest one couldn't go this year. And then my nephew. And so I had three guys there. And they are late night people. They're up till midnight, 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. I am not. I'm a morning person for sure. And so I would be crashing by about 10 o'clock. That's my vacation crash, you know, 10:30 if I was really living large. But I'm up by 6 o'clock at the latest, usually. So then they're sleeping till 11 or noon because they've been up so late. So I had this time gap in the morning, every morning, where I would go walk on the beach. I would have a nice quiet breakfast just by myself in the condo. But then I would go in my room and I would close the door and I would turn on this thing I listened to this year was this conference called Heaven Come. It's available for free on Daystar TV. If you want more information, I'll give you a link for it on email or on Facebook or something. Just let me know if you want to know. 28 sessions of worship and teachings. And I am telling you, my vacation was better than it's ever been this year because I would spend 2 to 3 hours in the morning just soaking in God's presence, just soaking in it, both with the internet and on the beach, because that's a great place to soak in his presence, walking the beach, walking the beach. And so I just want us to, I felt so renewed after that. I felt energized. There have been some vacations I've come home, I feel exhausted from vacationing. Like I've just done nothing but run, hit tourist trap after tourist trap. And I come home and I'm like broke and tired, you know? This time, that's not how it went. I came home ready to face what I needed to face. I felt strong. And I think there's a supernatural element to that natural understanding. That if we can soak in his presence, it actually brings strength. How many of you, let's be honest, how many of you have ever gotten up on Sunday morning and thought, I am just too tired to go to church today? Pastors raising both hands. Worship leaders, I know. Yeah, right? That's happened to me plenty. Don't think for one second just because I'm up here, it doesn't happen to me. Happens plenty. Like I know Dave would fill in for me on a moment's notice. He's told me so many times. But there has never been a time when I've come and really entered into his presence in worship, and whether I was teaching or not, really let the words that he has go into my spirit. There's never been a time when I walked away tired. I don't understand that. I can be so exhausted, and then I come in here and you think I'm tired, right? Because I'm talking. I'm not. I'm energized. There's so much value in it. So I just want us to ask God, God, I want to encounter you in rest. I want to know the joy of what it means to have quietness and trust in you. I just believe he's whispering in your heart right now, some of you. There's a certain area of your life that he is just saying, oh, can't we share that? Come, all you are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. God, I pray for every person here who's struggling. God, I know what it is to struggle. Just because I'm up here doesn't mean I don't know what it is to struggle. I do, Lord. But I thank you. I thank you that you are so good to your word. You are so right in the way you approach things. You created us. You know what refuels us. You know what brings rest to us. And so I pray, God, that we would listen to you, that we would ask and not tell, that we would ask you and not tell you how to do it, but we would wait for your wisdom and wait for your strength and wait for your joy. And I thank you for that. I thank you for your great love for us. In Jesus' name. One more thing I want to say. I didn't plan to say it, but I feel like I'm supposed to say it. If the only vision that comes to mind when you think of God is a stern face, like serious, stern face, it's hard for you to want to wait before him and hear his voice. So I just challenge that. I believe it's a lie we've been tricked into believing that God is this stern God who's going to get angry with you at the drop of a hat, you know? And I just believe, Dave has talked about it before, but I believe God wants us to see him as smiling over us, as smiling, as being lighthearted, not stern, lighthearted. He celebrates. When your kids were little, you know, and they were playing and having fun, did you have a stern face? No, you were celebrating. You had a big, bright smile on your face. And I think that might be something that's keeping somebody from going to God right now for rest, is that you have the wrong perception of him. So I just want to challenge that in you and ask God to show you his fun side. He has a fun side. He can be really fun and funny. We laugh together a lot, and I'm not crazy. We laugh together. It's fun. So I just want to encourage you to do that and watch what he does.